Blog Talk Radio.
I am living life on the merry-go-round. You can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Ooh, Monday. We gon' walk it out.
Glad that we have an opportunity to rise one more time. So I am going to say top of the morning to those of you who are on the East Coast and the West Coast, and those of you who are on other coastline, good day, good evening, and even some of those, good night. It's just good to be talking to you. Today's show is going to be kind of interesting, well, like they all are, because we're talking about courage and commitment, and people probably are wondering, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, we know Dr. Clark is going to help us understand how courage plays a very important part when you're trying to rise up out of the ashes of some of the things that have brought you down. And the courage that's necessary to move forward in a trying situation that sometimes we have doubt if we have the strength to endure what it may take. Interesting topic. And we always want to say hello to our friend in North Carolina. And it looks to me like our friend in China said goodnight, texting to me. Because it's, you know, late night there or whatever the case might be. So I'm just glad to be here. Show is being brought to you by Flashback Academy. Support Flashback Academy of what we are doing. Have the courage to step up. And for those of you veterans, take on one more mission. And those of you who hadn't had an opportunity to serve, this could be one now. Write us at flashbksllc@gmail.com, or just go ahead and donate a dollar. It'll go a long way, too. Our Cash App is Flashback Academy. How easy can that get? Thank you for joining us, and let's say welcome and top of the morning to Dr. Clark.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, as Dr. Brown has said, wherever you may be joining us from. Again, it is counted privilege and honor to be able to share this space with you all again today. So yes, we do have a very interesting topic. I'll do my best as always to provide some words of encouragement or some food for thought as you continue along this lifelong journey of becoming a new you in the midst of losing someone or something that had great meaning to you.
So, Dr. Clark, I'd like to read the comment that came across my email as it relates to this specific topic, courage and commitment. It's very brief, but it probably is worth 1,000 words. Regina says, I lost my first husband, and now I am afraid to commit to another relationship. I guess when we talk about grief and loss, as Dr. Clark has reminded us, that can come in many shapes, forms, and fashions. It could be friendship, other relationships, could be a job. It could be a limb, okay? I'm not going to go there today, but we all know we're continue to pray for my son who got his eye knocked out in the line of duty. Go figure. But this young lady, She lost her husband. She didn't say how, but she's just afraid to give it another shot, to commit to another relationship. Dr. Clark, you got any advice for her? Help us better understand what she's probably going through.
She's going through what many people go through, hundreds and thousands of people go through in the time of loss, not even so close of a relationship as losing a spouse, but just in loss periods, they become stuck, right? When loss happens, there becomes a fear there, a fear that if I open myself up again, I'm opening myself up to having the same type of experience. And so it's going to be important for her to allow herself to grieve, first of all. She's holding all those thoughts inside, and she's allowing those thoughts and those fears to dictate how she's showing up in any given space. And so she's got to have a conversation with her spouse and get permission to let go and get permission to live again. I'm sure her spouse would not want her to live life sad, in fear, afraid of commitment, not blossoming and living to her full potential. And so it's one of those strategies and tools that I have in the workshop where we write a letter to our boss and we talk about the, you know, we open the terms of endearment, we talk about the good times, we talk about the bad times, but yeah, we confront the loss. I'm angry. She's got to confront the angry of that loss. We don't know the circumstances. We don't know where that left her at in her areas of wellness. But to get it out from being on the inside and put it where we can now see it and make a physical connection with it, and then get a chair and read that letter to your spouse and be able to say the things that you're angry about not being able to do and the things that you want to do in life and ask for to be released from the fear, be released from the inability to go on and to be free from the idea that I can't commit, and start to make the shift in your mindset about what it is that you want. And let's put a plan together to try to get to that place that you desire for yourself. Remember, the concept of post-traumatic growth is growing and discovering the possibilities of life in the face of traumatic experiences. For as devastating as they are to our psyche, to our physical, to our overall well-being, there's lessons of life, and we can still grow. And it's part of now discovering the new you in the midst of this. Life as you knew it before is no more. So the thing that you fear committing to is not even there for this part. You're now opening yourself up for whole new possibilities. And don't look at the commitment that this is something that I have to do right now, but let life happen in its natural course of progression. And as you start to open yourself up just to receive, first of all, yourself, and as you gain your own value of who you are again and reestablish the relationship with you, then and only then can you start to open yourself up to others. Start with making a commitment to yourself that you will live, you will not die, you will not be carried under the shadow and the gloom of this devastating event that's happened to you. Commitment can't happen to any with anyone else until commitment happens to ourselves. So work at making the commitment to yourself to love yourself again. Get to the bottom of what is that core fear that is there. That core fear was there while you were in that relationship, and now it's been magnified. But what is behind that core fear? But give yourself permission to be committed to finding out who you are and reestablishing the relationship, the new you that you must be in relationship with, and make a commitment to that relationship and allow that relationship to grow and to prosper. And then you can open yourself up to not even being committed initially, but even being available to receive what's out there. And don't cheat yourself and don't rob yourself of that experience, that brand new experience in your life.
Wow, don't cheat yourself. Dr. Clark, this conversation reminds me of a young lady that I spoke to, and she was getting ready to enter into another relationship, or she was considering it, but she kept hesitating because she says, but that was my best friend. He's a tough act to follow. There's no way in the world I could find anybody better because I waited all my life to find him. Those type of words. What do you say to an individual? Because the young lady that we just spoke of, Regina, reminded me of this individual, and I'm sure that there's many more out there who pour all of themselves into a relationship, and at some point, they do we sit up and start preparing for the day that we might lose them, so I got to stay ready and, you know, keeping a couple on the side or something. You know, can you make any sense out of this?
We do. We oftentimes invest so much in our relationship, and we just lose who we are. When we unite with someone in a relationship, it's not to lose our own sense of self and create a codependency on someone. It's to grow those other aspects of ourselves and then grow together. It's never to lose who you are. And it's important that we don't, because we don't know how long these relationships are going to last. The Bible says that there's a time and a season for everything. And
That's right.
Not up to us to put this time frame on. We put a lifetime time frame on certain relationships that we have. And that relationship becomes the label by which we now carry ourselves in our everyday operations and our everyday being. And what death or separation from that person has the tendency to do is to make me stop and realize that I stopped living for me because I live as a part of and within someone or something else. And so now, again, as we mentioned with Ms. Regina, it's time to now rediscover who you are. That can be your best friend. Hold on to those things as a best friend. You're not looking for anyone to replace that relationship. You're looking for something new. Because if you try to replace that relationship and look for those things that was in that relationship and someone else, you're never going to find it because you've already put that blockage up. You've already said there's no one else like it. And so, again, it's now honoring the friendship and the things that you appreciated and the lessons that you learned from that relationship, and give yourself permission to receive a new best friend, to receive something new. You don't know what you did not get in that experience and relationship until you make yourself available to experience another one and see what that has to offer. And you might just find that, hey, I didn't have this in my last best friend. It's okay to have more than one best friend, because every friendship serves a different purpose. Every relationship serves a different person and a purpose and has a different value. So honor that relationship, honor that best friend, honor those things. But again, don't cheat yourself from being able to have a new experience and maybe even something greater that you didn't have before. But we've got to have that mindset to know that we're worthy and value ourselves enough to say, I can have this again, and I can have it on a different level, and be kind and sensitive to yourself.
Wow. That word, courage, mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger and fear or difficult times.
Yep. Absolutely.
Give yourself permission.
All those things wrapped up into one when you're dealing with loss and trauma and trying to heal the heart.
And I think the reason why this topic came up with the other word commitment was because when you decide that you're going to find that courage, you have to commit to it. It's like a person who says, you know, I want to be great at sports, or I want to become a good doctor and make sure I'm serving the community. Whatever it is that's driving you to be the best of who you are, it does take a commitment. The commitment to stick to your goals during the times of good and the times of bad, but you're focused with the commitment. Dr. Clark, you also used a word during your presentation, which was kind of a big word, so I'm going to ask that you break this one down a little bit. You spoke of codependency. What is that?
Mm-hmm. Codependency, meaning that you allow yourself to be dependent upon the other person or the other thing, as if you have no sense of self, of who you are in your own, and your existence depends on and relies on someone else, right? And so we often talk about that it's that circular relationship where the needs of the other person kind of outweigh your own, and you become very needy and you become very clingy. And so the co-dependent person is also known as the giver, right? Because they have a sense of feeling worthless and they have a sense of feeling useless. And so they have to feel needed and wanted. And so they place themselves in this role to where they are needed by other people, right? And so with being some signs of codependency are those who have difficulties making decisions in relationships, identifying their own feelings. They have challenges with communicating in relationships. They value the approval of others more than valuing themselves. They lack trust in themselves, and they have poor self-esteem. And so they start to live under the shadow of other people. So when one partner just feels that they have to have the other person, who in turn is a person that needs to be needed, if that makes sense. So the need to be needed and to be wanted within a relationship
that you have with someone because you don't value who you are and have enough confidence in and of yourself to be able to stand on your own, if that makes sense.
It reminds me of a statement I overheard, whether it be in a movie or whatever, but the person said, I don't know what I would do without you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope
that's
been food. Yes. But today's show was about finding the courage to commit to a change necessary for you to go on, period.
Absolutely.
Because here's what's one thing that is guaranteed in life, that no day will be the same. They may seem to be very similar, even the person mm-hmm. who may be sitting up in a jail cell every day thinking I'm doing the same thing every day, but the reality is you're not. There is a routine, but you're not. And you can work on becoming better at who you are. Or sometimes you may have to just go through a long stream of reflection to take a look at where do I need to adjust to change so that the situation that I'm in will never happen again. I've had a few people write me from the penitentiaries that they've had to go and take a time out in life. The good part, they didn't do anything immoral, it was just against the law, and they're paying their debt, and they're looking forward to hopefully coming back into society and being a better person. But it's going to take a lot of courage because we are creatures of habit, and once we adapt to something, we stay with it. This is why that comment was made, I don't know what I would do without you. But in time, we do have to make some changes to be able to continue to move forward. I thank Dr. Clark for having the courage to address this particular topic, the commitment to being on the show. And I'm hoping that as the host, she will now give us an exercise or a food for thought before we wrap things up. But I want to make sure that you folks know that you can reach her by dialing. What is the number again, please?
818-646-6608 or drclark.rotm@gmail.com.
And is there a good time to make contact to you to reach out?
Just send me an email, or if you call and I don't respond, just know that I will get back with you.
Fantastic. Well, do take out the time one more time to show the courage, Dr. Clark, and we never will challenge yours. But help us prepare as we get ready to wrap up this week to go take on a new one.
Okay. Dr. Alan Wolfert says, instead of thinking that I need to get back to the old normal, perhaps I need to embrace how I am changed forever by the death of someone loved. To do this, I have to acknowledge the reality of the death and be willing to connect to the deepest part. That's when grief becomes a growth process that transcends the turmoil of change. I am new. I am changed. I am reborn. Until next time, give yourself permission to grieve. Bye for now.
Outstanding. I do have a question for our caller. And this is off the cuff, but I kind of like that because it's so spontaneous and it lends to reality. Caller in North Carolina, are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
I got a question for you. If I'm not mistaken, you are 79 years old, yes?
That'll be 79 in September the 19th.
Just around the corner. Has there ever been a time in your life where you had to find the courage to make a major change, and as difficult as it was, what skill did you use to commit to?
the commitment to survival, the commitment to go on. Because it got dark many, many times. So I looked at the alternatives and I said, this is something I want to do, not only for my sake, but for the sake of my two daughters and my two grandkids. It's just a question of survival. How bad do you want to survive?
Wow. Thank you very much, folks. If you have an opportunity like I do to have a doctor who is a friend and then have a friend who is a person of wise experience, we call that in the clinical terms the wraparound of support that helps get you through some changes. If you know those type of people in your life, embrace that and don't forget to say thanks. Thank you, Dr. Clark. Thank you, North Carolina. Let's go ahead and take this thing home.
Silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to a dream. Ooh, I'll say, bring it to a dream. Ooh, I'll say. And all right.